This is a man's world, but we won't quit. This is a man's world. She who dares wins.
Hello and welcome to This is Man's World, She Who Dares Wins podcast. And my super special guest this week is Lauren Holland. And Lauren is a London-based land surveyor. So she's one of me, I guess. Welcome to the podcast, Lauren.
Thank you very much. It's an absolute pleasure to be featured.
I spotted you on Instagram, like I do with all my guests, I think probably last year. And I was like, one of those situations where you see someone, you're like, oh, they're one of us. I understand who these people are. So it was really exciting as well, because you work down in London. And yeah, I'm not going to go into that. You explain for me and my listeners how you became a land surveyor.
Oh, so it's kind of a long story, actually. Well, long and short, I did a degree at Bristol University.
Yeah.
In geography. And in my third year, I had a bit of a midlife crisis, and I was like, oh, I don't know what to do with my life. And I went and spoke to Careers Advisor, and she's like, oh, what would you recommend? And she turned around and just went, well, what do you like to do? And I was like, well, I love being outside. And at the time as well, we did a lot of 3D modelling. So I sort of said, I quite enjoyed that. It's like playing on The Sims. So she turned around and said, well, looking to being a land surveyor. So I Googled it and I had no idea what it was. Obviously, when you Google land surveying, you kind of get loads of total stations, which I've never even seen in my life. And just clicked on the first company that came up and dropped them an email and said, hey, like, I'm a student. I'd really like to do some work experience for free of my Easter break. And they were like, yeah, sure. And they were based down in Wembley. Okay. So I went along and loved it. Absolutely loved it. I think originally I was a bit like, is it just because it's something new that I'm enjoying it?
Right.
And every day I just was learning more and more and more. And I was going home and talking to my family. And they kept saying to me, when you talk about it, you know, your face just lights up. And it was just really strange for me to come back and be like, yeah, I love going to site, my PP boots and hard hat. And then I've thought of it really ever since. Just worked my way into from like assistant to junior to surveyor. And now I do a lot more networking and development and things. So.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, that, like, the fact that you did a geography degree makes us even closer, because so did I.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, but I never, the crazy thing is it took me like 7 years to full circle to go to land. If someone had said at a careers event, go into land surveying, like, it would have been amazing. But I ended up doing like going into construction, doing materials testing and quality assurance and going the really super long route. In fact, I've only really been land surveying in the last 2 years, because it was kind of the back end of, you know, using total station for setting out purposes, kind of go hand in hand. But yeah, no, I wish someone had said that, because it sounds like you've taken the quickest and like you found your dream job pretty quick. So that's awesome.
Yeah, pretty lucky.
Yeah, awesome. Okay. And how did you find it? Like you said, you were super excited to be on site and put the hard hat and high vis on. Was there any times, you know, when you were first out on site where you were like, wow, this is pretty male dominated, and did it give you the jitters, or did you just take everything as it came?
Well, my dad works in the glass industry. So he goes to site quite a lot, and deals with architects and things. So when obviously I mentioned I was doing work experience as a land surveyor, my dad gave me a pretty good warning and said, you know, it is a very heavy male dominated industry.
Yeah.
And I think he prepared me quite well for it. And I've been to a lot of his glass events. So as growing up, they had like family days and whatnot. So I kind of have been exposed to it without kind of realizing.
Okay.
Speaking of obviously, it was like being on a catwalk every day. You walk through site and everyone would just like stop and turn. And to begin with, I just felt quite uncomfortable, because obviously just like, what's going on? Like, surely they see women every now and then or yeah. Whatever. But I did notice, because I did quite a bit of monitoring to begin with, they were small jobs. So you'd have maybe 50, 60 men on there, and they had actually never seen a woman on site before. Yeah. So it was like genuinely for them just something I was so amazed by. And I did have a few kind of like comments and wolf whistles and whatnot. And obviously they did make me feel quite uncomfortable, and I did support a couple of them actually, and they got dealt with. And I did feel a bit like, oh, am I really out of place for doing that? But obviously the last thing you want to do is go to work and feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, completely.
But yeah, and now, to be honest, I sort of feel that if I do walk on site and guys look at you like, oh my word, what's she doing here? Mm-hmm. I just smile and I just feel that into proving to them that I deserve to be there just as much as they do. So
yeah, and I think, I don't know how you feel, but I'm a familiar with the audience out there. When you do the job that Lauren and I do, you carry a lot of kit, and your job is, not to say other jobs are not super important on site, they are, but it is like a physical job. It's a really important job that we do on site. And when you like lumber on all your kit, it's kind of nice that I feel, because people are like, oh, she's here to do like a job and like a, you know, a physical job. So it's kind of cool from that. Do you feel that way as well?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like even today I had to climb down a really big ladder to get down to the basement with a tether station on my back and a like bracket in my hand, and there wasn't really anyone around on the floor at the time. I mean, I'm capable of doing it, so I did it, and when I got down, just everyone was stopped and looked like, oh my god, I can't believe you just did that. And you're like, yeah, like I did. And it's nice because you just sort of think, for me, like I was never that fit.
Yeah,
but I guess over time you do gradually get fitter.
Yeah,
and I do notice that now. Like I can carry so much equipment and it's not even heavy, and people look at you like, "Oh, are you okay? Do you need any help?" And you're actually like, "No, I don't."
Yeah,
I can actually carry it.
I actually, it made me laugh a little bit when I think you put a picture on Instagram. It was you walking through kind of central London and you've got your tripod and your box, and you do carry a lot more kit than I do. Like when I was setting out, I carried all that stuff across site, but it was just on site. It wasn't through like the middle of the city. And like now I just stick with GPS. I'm like, I can handle a sledgehammer and a GPS and that's about it. But you put this, you put this picture on and someone commented and they were like, oh, the only advice I would give would be to perhaps draw the legs in so that you don't stab someone on the sidewalk or something, or make it easier for you. And I was thinking, oh, for God's sake, someone's always got to have a comment, haven't they?
Oh, don't. And I had like, honestly, and some people had said stuff like before, because obviously, as you know, like being exposed to social media, you do get people who do comment things. And
yeah.
Sometimes it's just out of an experience and they just turn around and think, oh, like they know. And they were like, oh, you should have been using like a spider or something in a basement. And I thought to myself, I know the site and I know exactly what needs to be. And even someone had commented below that to say, I think she's a surveyor. She knows when she needs to use certain equipment. And I was like, yeah, too right, you know, so. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. No, it's, I think I had once, I had some problem with some kit, and I phoned up one of the like service centres and they were like, okay, just turn it off and then turn it back on. And I was like, oh, we're not going there. I was like, seriously, this is not 2008 and it's not a PC. Like, now I know that can sometimes help, but I was just like, I really felt he's just said that because it's me on the phone. If it was a guy, yeah, like, oh, check this or do this. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're like, don't you think I've already done that?
But you're using a lot of different kit, and you're really, I think, more into like the monitoring and land surveying than kind of I do. Like I'm surveying landfill at the moment, so it's just walking and doing, you know, heaps and things. But for the course that I did to train up on the EDM, that was quite technical and quite interesting, really. And how did you find working with like the computer systems and getting that aspect of, I suppose, the office side of the job?
Well, I think in a lucky, unlucky way, it's quite hard to describe, because in the first company I joined, they weren't so advanced in technology. So we had like the old instruments, we were using TS09, TS06, it was like no code systems. And it was like, you had to have like speakers to speak to someone who's 100 meters away, and they go curb, and you're like, you got your notebook and you're like curb one, and they're like bottom of curb, and you're like bottom of curb two. And that is how I learned to do it. And I think at the time I remember people saying to me like, oh, you know, there's so much more better kit than this. And I kept thinking to myself like, oh, I can't believe we're wasting all this time doing this. And like my area surveys was actually with a disto. Wow. And a pen and paper, and I would go back to the office and I would watch YouTube videos on how to draw on CAD. Because there wasn't many surveyors, there wasn't many people in the office, and it was very much like you get thrown in the deep end and you learn. And I learned from my mistakes very, very quickly. And I was lucky to have quite a few surveyors above me who I'd be on site with, and I would just be, I'd annoy them so much because I was constantly like, why do you set up there, not there? Why are you measuring that, not that?
Yeah.
And it helped a lot. And I think when I actually joined Murphy Surveyors Home Now, and they were like, do you know how to do topper? And I was like, yeah, I do them all the time. And they sent me on site with TS15, a one-man kit with like a controller and a code list. And I remember opening up the box and being like, what is this? I actually had no idea how to use it. It was really weird. So then I had to call a surveyor on site and had to come show me. But I think having that, it gave me a really good understanding of how the instrument works.
Yeah.
Same with like levels. I do all my level runs manually. Now we do them digitally.
Yeah.
But if something ever goes wrong on site, I can come back to the office and work it out because that's how I got taught.
Yeah.
So I do think it's very important that people do learn, because some people say, oh, at universities, they have all the old instruments and whatnot. But I think it's probably for the best. So.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I mean, it makes me laugh actually, because I think I had a, I mean, my brother's a setting out engineer and surveyor too, and we both did the same course. And we laughed that we had, I think it was a TSO9. Mm. And I was like, I'm amazing at setting out a building site in a hallway of a college. And then like out on site, you're screaming at someone to go like, and we've, for anyone listening out there, we're just trying to explain in layman's terms. The kit is like, I guess, now using an iPhone 11 back to using like a Nokia 3210. That's kind of the scope of the difference between using the kit. And yeah, you have two people now, everything's kind of robotic and you're on your own. But yeah, it makes me laugh. But you're right, because I've had a couple of apprentices since on the setting outside of things. And like you feel, I've kind of felt like, oh God, you guys are getting everything like so easy. Like the old school, like chaining, you know, even so, like some of them don't even take level books out. And I'm like, come on, this like, yeah, I know. And it's a shame, but I suppose that's where technology's come into its, into its own. It's, but you still have to lug the equipment around. That's what I'm finding interesting at the moment with all the surveying being done with drones. And it's like, you know what, the old equipment still does the same job. And if you know how to do that, then I think you're kind of bulletproof for the future. And like you say, if any mistakes happen on site, you can rely on your knowledge rather than the computer system, which isn't always right. So yeah, that's kind of cool and interesting. So social media side of things, what made you want to share your journey and story online?
Well, I think I posted a couple of photos on LinkedIn and just, I don't know what made me do it, but I just thought, oh, I'll just post one. I think someone had ever asked me if I ever used it, so I was like, oh, I'll choose it. And after a couple, they started getting quite a lot of likes and views. That one which you're talking about of me carrying all the kit through London got like 250,000 views on LinkedIn.
Wow.
Something like 2,000 likes, I think, I don't know. And I got called in for a meeting with the director because it was very much like, now you're in the public eye. And it was a bit of a shock because I was like, I didn't even think about that. I was just posting like willy-nilly. And then I was like, now I'm like representing the company and people are looking at it, knowing that I work for Murphy Surveyors. But obviously it's professional and it's business. Whereas on Instagram, it's very much like I can post what I want. It's casual. I can put my Instagram stories of having a bad day and everything like that. And also that's where you reach the next generation, because the teenagers today, the people who are coming up, that's where you see them. And I've actually had some of my cousins who is 17. She'd sent me screenshots of her friends sending her messages going, oh, I saw this on Instagram the day, isn't your cousin? And it was like a random ad or something that my face was on, or it like popped up or something. And I was like, how weird is that, that it spreads so quickly, but I'm reaching the younger generation, which is the goal. Kind of showing them that, you know, yeah, I love my job, and yeah, there's bad days in every job, but it's just about being real. And the support network is amazing. Like the amount of times where I've been on site and just been like, I can't do this. It's too much, it's too overwhelming. And I'll sit in the van and post an Instagram story like, I can't cope, this has happened. And people just feed all this stuff like, oh, you know, you've got this, you're amazing. And oh, how about, why don't you try this? Like, have a cup of tea, go back to site, do another site walk. And you actually take them in and you're like, wow, that actually really helped.
It's powerful, isn't it? And I think you've hit the nail on the head there with, you know, the youth of today. I've been to a couple of women in construction events, and I always talk about the social media side of things. I think it's just so important because that's where the eyes and ears are, and that's where we get to influence. Like, my main thing is I get frustrated with the culture. You know, I've been in the industry now 13 years and I get so frustrated. I'm like, how can we bring more women and girls in and keep them when the culture just needs this massive shift? But the truth is that a lot of people I've had on the podcast have said, yeah, but the only way to shift the culture is by changing the numbers. And the one thing that the feedback that I get, which sounds very similar to you, is we appreciate the honesty. You know, that the breakdown in the toilet, the trying to get through site when you're pregnant and no one knows what to do with you, or like, you know, the no female toilets, or the comments. And whilst I don't ever want to kind of just focus on that, because there's so much of the job, as you really do well, of portraying, you know, like, what the positive side of things and how great the job is. That people can then make their own choice, because the last thing you want to do is be like, oh, it's amazing, you go on construction site and people make you a cup of tea, everyone says really nice things to you. Like, the reality is someone then gets a job and's like, hold on a minute, these guys sold me down the river, and it's quite brutal.
Yeah, but I think it's just important just to turn around and say, these are challenges. I always emphasize afterwards how amazing the feeling is to overcome them.
Yeah.
And it really is just to get home and go, like, 2 hours ago on my Instagram story, I was having a mental breakdown. I couldn't do it. I was like, no, I've had enough. You do it, and then you go home, and you're like, wow, I did it. And it's just all about proving to them that it's temporary, that all these things that happen, the things that you overcome and you learn from, rather than just being like, oh, this sucks, and I've had enough, and that's it. So I always try and emphasise that.
Yeah, it's a small snapshot, isn't it, into the day.
Yeah.
Like, based on that then, like, if you've got a group of girls, or even guys, I have a lot of people, a lot of guys on here as well that are interested in different roles. Like, what are the best things about being a land surveyor?
The best things? Oh, the long list.
Good.
I would probably say to start with the community. Okay. When I first started, to be honest, you didn't really feel it. It was very much like, as a woman, you're quite isolated. And the numbers of females on site has grown immensely. Like, I cannot believe it. I see women on site all the time now.
That's
so good. Obviously it's still not as high, but yeah. And I think it's just so nice. Like, I rock up to site all the time and your group was smiles and, oh, do you want a cup of tea? And how's it going? And it's just, like, really, really nice. And I love that. And I go to a lot of like chartership events, and whatnot. And obviously they're still quite older generation based and male dominated.
Yeah.
But it's like this support. It's like the older generation are really trying to encourage us to be that generation that makes a change and changes the future.
Yeah.
And it's so nice because you go and you're just surrounded by people who are just there to like encourage you. And I absolutely love that. Like, joining the industry, you'd really be supported. And no matter what event you went to, there's always someone there that will happily help you and whatnot. Yeah, I love that. And as I was saying earlier about the challenges as well, like, I love that there's a sort of even a small challenge every day.
Yeah.
And you can go to site and come in, and it makes your day. People will say, oh, you know, you do the same thing all the time. And it's like, yeah, but it's not. It might be the same site, but 20 concrete trucks weren't there last week when I set up all my equipment and everything like that. So you have to like come around it, talk to people and communicate. And it's just nice when you work together as a team. And obviously, like, being outside, I absolutely love it. And sometimes when I've been in the office for a couple of days, I'm like, oh, you know, I've been so busy, I've got loads of work to do, or just feeling a bit down. And the moment I'm on site, I just feel like so happy. It's really strange.
I get that, like, the feeling and the variedness of it as well. I think if anyone who thinks it might be at university and thinks, oh god, I can't get an office job, it's kind of the perfect thing, isn't it? Because you get to spend time outside with the kit, working on site, and then you're back in the office doing drawings, speaking to clients. So it really is, I think, the best of both worlds. But yeah, I think you've summed it up in a nutshell there, like, some of the things that I really enjoy and get pleasure out. And at the end of the day, that's what I say to lots of people, is that I wouldn't have been doing it for 13 years if it wasn't fun. Like, you know,
you'd have tapped
out, because it's tough at times, so you'd have tapped out sooner enough. So it really does, you know, it's a great industry and a great job to be part of. Howdy, folks. I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I just wanted to say thanks for listening. And if you did want to support the podcast, then you may consider heading over to a Patreon account where for less than the price of a coffee a month, you can get yourself some extra goodies from this super, super podcast. And you will also be supporting the podcast for future episodes. Thanks for listening. I mean, Murphy Surveys, like, obviously you're representing those guys. From an outsider's perspective, looking through your Instagram and your stories, it really makes me happy that I'm hearing more and more of super supportive companies. I've worked with a lot of different companies. I've always been freelance, but I've been on projects and I've stayed on projects a long time because of how well I've been treated. And that's one thing I also say to people is, like, I've only come across, like, in 13 years, like, one, maybe two companies where I've been like, they're not that supportive. But the majority have been amazing. And I think that's a perception that people are not aware, you know, that they've wrongly perceived, that, you know, you're just thrown out onto site and the support's not there. But like, Murphy seemed really good with that and letting you kind of take the route to help inspire others as well. And I see a lot of, dare I say it, I feel old at 35, but I see a lot of younger guys in your team. Do you feel like it's a young vibe, you know, at Murphy's? And how do you feel like they've supported you so far?
I definitely say it's got quite a young vibe here. I mean, in my department, majority of the surveyors, I think, are 30 and under.
Okay.
There's a couple maybe like mid-30s, but I'd say, yeah, like, and as well, we're about 23% female, which is
that's
quite
awesome.
High for,
I didn't realize there's more than you. Wow. That's
incredible. I know. No, it's really nice because we have a lot of, like, we have monthly staff drinks and we go out quite a bit together. And it's nice because they become your friends, which is really nice. But, yeah, like, I honestly cannot have done everything I have without the support of Murphy Surveys. Like, the moment I turned around and said, I want to go to an event, my first event was a Women in Construction event at London Build, actually. And I was like, I've seen this on LinkedIn, I'd really like to go. And I turned around and went, yeah, okay, I blanked your schedule off. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And then I was like, I want to do school visits. And then when I started being quite active on social media, I was like, okay, I want to start going to conferences and more networking events. And the whole time they've just been so supportive and just gone, yeah, like, do it. And it's been so great. And especially with balancing both, like, at the beginning it was quite tough. Because it was very much like, I was loving going to all these networking events and chartership events and meeting these people and potential clients and things, and I was like, wow, this is another side of the business that I didn't get to see before. But these are like late events, and they were going on to like 11, and I had to get up at like 5:30 in the morning to go to site. But now they've been really, really good at making my schedule flexible. And I just think if people want to do it, like, speak up, because at the end of the day, they're going to have to be replaced at some point, and they need people to come in and fill positions. And the only way to do that is to go out and encourage the next generation. And I think a lot of companies are actually a lot more supportive than people realize. It just takes someone to stand up and say, I want to do it.
Yeah. And I think if they've not had anyone before, then they don't know. Like, and I think that's where I've struggled, is that being freelance, I've kept all my social media completely under wraps. So no one I've ever worked with, other than two friends who are fellow engineers I've worked with, and I only told them once I'd left. And when the story about my pregnancy hit the national newspapers, I was like, okay, shit's gonna hit the fan. And look, no one, like, I'm sure people read the paper, no one put two and two together. And it's a world that I keep under wraps, only because you know, I share the honest opinion, I don't work directly for people, I work for clients. So I've always found that a little bit difficult. But that working for a company like you do that allow it, and not so much allow it, are encouraging it, is grand, because it's then saying, yeah, you know, she works in construction, there's good and bad days, we're fully supportive of this. And it's just, it's an open field, really, to, like you say, to tap into that next generation and say, yeah, come on, like, we need you. The jobs are there. be inspired and follow. And you do a great job, Lauren, of giving a good insight into like your, I mean, I don't know how you do it because I get overwhelmed with the posting. And I'm like, oh, I used to like daily vlog on site for YouTube.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. And it got to a point where, and I was hiding this as well. So I was like setting up a camera on a housing estate. It's hard to hide a camera from like 50 work. It's so hard. And then trying not to film anyone because obviously I didn't want to put anyone in it that, you know, wasn't aware of it. But Instagram's great for that. And you, like quite a few of my guests, kind of take us through the working day, which is nice as well. So you're not just like talking about what you're doing, you're showing us as well. So I'd say, yeah, definitely keep up that. That's awesome. Right, now for some fun stuff. Have you ever, because I've done this, have you ever dropped a turtle station?
No, I've never dropped one, but I've had one fall on my head.
Oh, wow. Well, that's even worse. Yeah,
I was, I'd set up the tripod and screw the turtle station to the tripod. And either I hadn't clipped it on properly. I placed the turtle station on top of it. And as I put my foot on the tripod to like push it into the ground, the turtle station fell off and it fell on my head. I had a helmet on, lucky, but still. And my colleague caught it.
What?
And you know, you were like, yeah, and he caught it. And I was just like, I cannot believe that just happened, because if that had fallen on the floor, that would have been seriously drastic. Yeah.
Yeah, I dropped one. I was setting out some housing foundations and I put my turtle station on like two quarter brick. So like 150 mil up, but it wasn't fully on and it fell, for the viewers out there, like less than the length of a ruler. It fell on the floor and the cost for repairs was, well, like, it makes me feel ill now. It was So for anyone out there listening, the kit that Lauren and I use is, what would you say, between like £15,000 and £25,000 worth of kit?
I think ours is about £25,000. Yeah,
that's some responsibility right there.
Yeah, I know, right?
And also insurance. Like, I just renewed my insurance because I bought my own GPS kit. And I was told by the insurance guys that it's gone up by 300% because the amount of people stealing kit off-site. So my next question is, have you ever had to run after kit?
I have, actually.
Okay, share that story.
Yeah, I know. So I was on a site and they told us that I actually had an extra assistant with me. I could do this all on my own. I was just doing a topo inside this site. It was really small, like all hoarding, padlock gate and everything. And then they were like, we'll give you an assistant because the area is like dodgy. And I was like, okay. So all day we were working fine. Like, we locked the gate, but it locked ourselves into the site. And then my colleague was like, I'm going to go to the toilet. So I was like, that's fine, whatever. And I was like, just, you know, put the lock back on as you leave. And what I didn't realize is that he hadn't like locked it. He kind of like put the lock on, but not really pushed it. So it was open. And the site manager hadn't been to site yet. And my manager said to me, I'll just let you know that, you know, he's coming at some point today, like blah, blah, blah. So this guy just walked into site and I just thought that the gate was locked. So I was like, oh, he must know the PIN. This must be the site manager. And he walked straight up to me, unclipped the instrument from the tripod and walked off of it. And I was screaming at him and I was like, no, like, give it back. And I had the control in my hand. And then he turned around as if he was like going to grab it, and I like pulled it away, and then I got my phone out and started like taking photos of him, and then he looked at me really angry, and I was like, oh my god. He like ran into this car, and I was taking photos of this car this whole time, and I was just like, I cannot believe that just happened. But because of things happening previously, and there'd been stories of people maybe, you know, using weapons and stuff, I thought to myself, whoa, I can't like try and grab it from him, because what if he hits me? Obviously he's like, I don't know, I'm only 5'2" and he must be like 6 foot, quite big built. And I was like, he could just like tap me and I'll fall on the floor.
Wow.
And like I called the police and they managed to, well, the car that they like gave the license plate to, they managed to like trace to a certain point, but the license plate was fake, and obviously they just ripped it off and got away with it. So
It's like my worst, like my nightmare. I mean, with GPS, I'm constantly by my side. I very rarely look, but when I was setting out using like hired in kit, it was, yeah, it's I mean, what do you, I had the only experience I have that I can relate to that is I was working on the Nottingham tram and I'd set my tripod up. We were working in the middle of a council estate and I've literally walked about 20 metres and this kid was hanging off my tripod legs. And I just like screamed. I just like ran over to him and his mom was just like, he's just playing. It's just a camera. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah, it was absolutely. Yeah, I know. You have absolutely no idea, which is interesting. Yeah. That's another thing that I always get when doing, setting up the EDM. Do you ever get anyone that's like, oh, are you taking pictures?
Oh yeah. We actually had really strangely like laser scanning actually, because obviously all the instruments do have a certain, it's infrared, I think, with the lasers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Obviously with a scanner, like it shoots out millions of lasers to measure points, but you don't actually see the lasers. And there was like scanning in a hotel and basically a woman had seen that there was like a little laser symbol on it. And she was just like, oh, you know, oh, the lasers. And it was just like, well, they're not actually that you can't see them. And she refused to let anyone work, like scan the rooms either side of her bedroom in case she like got affected by the lasers. You know, when you're like, I stand by this every day. They're not bad lasers. Once I was working in Vauxhall actually, and there's this bridge, and then I had the laser on the instrument because it was quite dark, shoot the prisms, and this guy was walking towards me. And he was like in the way, as you know, always people get all the time in your way. And they can see the laser on them. But anyway, he was walking and he looked down and he saw this laser on his stomach. And I had never seen anyone jump so like hard in my life. And he like ran to the side behind this car. And I was just like, oh my word, no. I was like, what if he thinks he's being aimed at or something? So I walked over and my colleague stood by the instrument and I was like, oh, are you okay? And he used to be in the army. Right. And I felt so bad. And he was just like, oh, you know, obviously, when that happens, she knew someone's act, and I was just like, I am really sorry. And I was like, wow. It's not a gun.
Oh my gosh, you wouldn't even expect that. That's like, for that, to happen. Yeah. Oh man alive. Have you ever had, like, because you do work you know, in quite busy places, I'm quite rural at the moment. Mm. The one time my course was actually in London, and I, to this day, it still makes me giggle. We were doing, there was a big group of us who'd set up an EDM and we were just doing a little bit of a topo of the road. And someone drove past in a car and put the window down and just went, survey says, I was like, that's the geekiest, best survey joke ever.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh my God. And literally we were so, like, I guess flabbergasted that someone had even said it. We just looked at ourselves and say, well, we've got no comeback for that. But
no.
Do you get any kind of, you know, I say abuse, do you get any kind of weird chat or banter from like the general public or questions asked?
I wouldn't say, there's a lot of like, what is that? And I always get people saying, I see that everywhere, but I've never asked anyone.
Okay.
Which I always think maybe I'm quite approachable, which is quite nice.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Not really. I think the funniest story I've ever had with it is when I was working a night shift in Shoreditch, and we were doing a utility survey, and it was must be next morning, obviously the club just shut, and there was like drunk people everywhere. And I was at the pole and my sister was stood by the toilet station, and I could see all these like girls around him, and it wasn't measuring me because they were stood in the way. I was walking towards him and they all lifted their tops up. And they thought it was the film that we were filming. And honestly, it was the most funniest thing. And I was like, it's not a camera. And I was like yelling at them, and all the girls just stood there just like, oh.
Oh, see, this is what, for listeners out there, these are like the great things that happen on a day. This is what makes the job fun as well, outside of the work, is like the stories that come with it is incredible. What are you passionate about? What do you want to see change in the future? What are you working towards at the moment?
So I think at the moment, one of my focuses that I've noticed change is like technology.
Okay.
So, for example, I went to Cambridge Lecture for the Chartered Institute of Civil Engineering Surveyors, and did a presentation there about the future in terms of like next generation and about how companies can do more to encourage their younger members of staff to develop and things like that. A guy called Mark Lawton did a really inspirational talk about driverless machinery and things like that. And I was thinking, like, oh my God, wow, that's so cool. So I went away and started like Googling it and researching it. And I'm doing a presentation on Thursday, actually, at my FSOA's office about the future that's like to come. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't really read about it, or they hear and they just think, oh, all being replaced by robots. Like, I don't want to know. We can never be replaced, things like that. But the painful thing is that some of the jobs can be.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to, I thought to myself, if people don't start adapting and moving towards this new technology, then they're just going to get left behind. And it's a sad thing to say, but it's like true. So we did loads of research about it, and it's more about like raising the awareness to all the companies and saying, like, you know, this is what you can do to maybe accept it and adapt it and things like that. And there's a lot more funding as well for companies now, to bring in sort of drone thing and whatnot. But also as well, obviously, like the getting the next generation in. And I've always been quite, obviously, we need it to be more diverse. I'd love to have more women in industry, but the skills gap is so big at the moment that I think it's super important just to get
anyone.
And I've even started going to primary schools who obviously look at you sometimes like, I have no idea what you're saying. And it was really, really hard because like, I love presenting, and I've done loads of whole school assemblies and workshops at secondary schools. And obviously the kids have a semi-understanding of like Google mapping and just drones and gaming and 3D modeling and things. So you can kind of relate to them. And they're like, wow, that's amazing. And the first primary school I got asked to go to, I was like, how on earth do I present to 3-4 year olds? Like, how on earth do I do that? So I really brought it down to basics and was just like, who has ever played on a game? Like, has anyone looked at the stars? You can map the stars. And it was like really simple, but their faces were like, wow. And at the end of it, I asked if anyone had any questions, and I must have had like maybe 30-40 kids all put their hands up. And I was just like, oh my word, wow. But it's all about talking to them when they're younger, just so that it's like in their subconscious. Showing them photos, exposing them to it. And when I do my presentations, I talk a lot about not just surveying, but the industry as a whole, like project management, like also when the bit of commercial side. Obviously it's very hard to cover everything, but it's just kind of not everyone does want to be a surveyor, but it's like, oh, but you can draw 3D models, or you can be a project manager on the site and whatnot. But it's tough because I get a lot of parents and a lot of the schools give me feedback and say, yeah, the kids are amazing, oh, but the parents weren't so happy because the kids came home and said they want to work on a construction site and and you're like,
yeah.
And I think it's really hard because how do you tackle the parents?
I know this is really I suppose crash, but I was talking about this with my dad. My parents were super supportive. And like I said, did you ever have any fears of me being on a construction site? And I guess your dad knew as well. He worked in the industry. Yeah. And he kind of said no. And we were discussing things outside of the podcast. And I think there's also a perception that people that work in construction, yes, it's dirty and, you know, it can be a rough industry. But I think there's a perception that it's a poor earner. And the reality is, like, it's not. It's, you know, my husband will shoot me for saying this, but he's a university lecturer, and I am by quite far, this is awkward to say, but the breadwinner. And I talk about it because I think it's important. I think we shouldn't focus on salary, but I think some parents, you know, they see the cost of the future and kids struggling to get houses, you know, when you leave university and then you're coming up with a huge amount of debt. And I think sometimes, I'm not getting everyone, but sometimes I think they defer to, well, you know, what career is in construction? And the reality is, you know, it's an amazing industry to be in at the moment because the lack of skills has kind of pushed wages up. And it's a great sense of pride that if you speak to anyone that works on a construction site, they love their job. So I think, I think you're right. I think it's hard to get through to the parents. I don't know whether it is a monetary thing or whether it's, like you say, they just don't want the idea. I mean, I'm saying this, if I'm going to be, I've said to my viewers, I'm going to be brutally honest. So here's the honesty. I think sometimes my mom is a bit like, oh, she works in construction. Like, oh, she wears boots. And sometimes it's like, she finds it a little bit hard to wrap her head around. And I think that's just maybe like a motherly thing that she's, you know, perhaps concerned about being on site. But Yeah, and you are heavily influenced by your parents, and that's what's interesting with this podcast. A lot of my guests have been influenced by parents, so the parents have worked on a construction site. So unless that exists, it's kind of hard, yeah. And like you're doing a great job by going into schools because they can see that then. But it is a real shame if they're then deterred by a parent that says, well, why don't you look at something else? Because parents have, like I say, a massive influence on kids. So I think that's one for you to crack in the future, Lauren.
Yeah, I know. Because I'm always trying to think, like, whenever can you get all the kids' parents in a room? Maybe I'll crash the parents' evening and
stick
over the mic, you know?
Yeah, so social media is going to help because I think a lot more people are getting on Instagram now, and then the younger guys are on TikTok and stuff. But I think that's the only way forward. And then doing the stuff that you do, you know, things that I do, which is go to events and talk at events, industry related or not, and just really just keep spreading the word, because that's, I think, the only way to do it. And being seen on site, people go, oh, actually, you know, come up and ask you questions and get interested. Yeah. So it's one that I'll probably struggle with as well, is how to tackle the parents issue.
We'll get there though.
Yeah, it's a hard one. So what events have you got coming up? Are you down at London Expo in 2 weeks?
Yes, I'll be at London Build Expo. You're there, aren't you?
Yeah, I'd love to. We'll have to meet up and have a proper chin wag and a drink.
Definitely. Yeah, I've got that coming up. And then I've got a couple of lectures at Rick's headquarters. So I've got one tomorrow on like BIM, and then one on Friday. It's a women in construction event, actually.
Nice.
Which is quite good. It's like more of a workshop, sort of presentation skills and things like that, which would be quite good. I think London Build, because we've been quite busy about Digital Construction Week and London Construction Week. And yeah, I think it's more about the Christmas dinners now.
Yes, it's a good time of year. Yes, indeed. Yeah. All right, well, you've been an amazing guest. Are there any last words that you'd want to say to anyone that's listening to the podcast?
I would say, if you're not from the industry and you know anyone who doesn't know what they want to do with their life, or they're looking for a new opportunity, just send them out to get some work experience, because I wouldn't change Lansing for the world. I love it. So definitely.
Awesome. And where can people find you on Instagram?
So my Instagram name is geospatiallauren. And on there you can email me and send me messages. And I'm also, my proper name is Lauren Holland. And you can find me on LinkedIn and Twitter via that name.
Cool. And for everyone, I'm going to put all of Lauren's social details in the show notes. So be sure to go and follow her, check her out, give her some words of encouragement. Not that she needs it. She's killing it in the world of surveying and everything else. Don't lose the passion for it, Lauren, because you're doing an incredible job. And it's been amazing to chat to you today. And thanks for being a guest.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
No worries. Once again, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to the podcast, folks. Your support means everything. Don't forget to check out the show notes, and I'll be back next week.